Okay. Today is the 5th of September 2018. The 25th. Add it up. 25th? That's what he said. 25th of Elul. Yom Rishon, Lebria Sa'olam. You want to call today. Right?
Right.
Okay. Got that? Okay, so we are up to finishing up Sefer Bamidbar, the end of Parshas Bikkosai. We talked about the other day about the that the art scroll here quotes from Refersh. The idea that there's an odd question here, that the Parak Chafei talked about Mitzvot Tzulis Ba'arish, Mita Yovel, etc. Then there's a whole discussion of the Tochacha, and then we have these issues of Arach, and of the worth of people, and the worth of fields, and the book ends. So what's going on here? Why is there this, why are you following in this particular order? It's a little bit odd. So Refersh explains, well, because we... the admonitions are when you're not doing the things that you need to do, not when you're not doing things that you don't need to do. So this is to point out that the issue of the way of a person giving their erech, giving their worth to the Beis HaMikdash, we'll get to that, what exactly that means in a moment, but giving their worth to the Beis HaMikdash, that is not a required thing, that is an optional thing. So therefore, that's going to be removed from that which is going to be covered by the Tochacha. So that's actually in the article Chumash here. So the Shemen HaTov here, by the way, there is not, it was not so easy finding things to discuss for this last parak. Most of the Dvar Torah books and things of that nature that we have, all focus on the Tochacha and kind of leave this out. So a couple of things that he came across, I think are good though. So the Shemen HaTov here says that many people know that the Gedolim say, that many Gedolim say that why is it that the Parshas of Arachin is close to the Tochacha? So he tells you, because after the Tochacha you may feel that you are worthless and feel that you have no value. So therefore comes the Parsha of Arach to say, no, you still have value, you have a worth, you have something, and don't get too dejected. So that he quotes in many people, from many people, but you still need a little bit more than that. So he explains that there's a difference. This whole Parsha, this parak, is about saying Erech Halai, the value of me, and the Pasuk gives us, the Chumash gives us specific values, objective values per person, per age, per sex, right? Depending on whether he's male, female, or a slave, and depending on the age of that individual. So they are assigned a value from the Torah. So that's a little bit odd, right? Different people do have different values, right? LeBron James has greater value than, you know, most players on the Knicks, right? They have more value to the team. A person is going to, yeah, I would think if you would say, I'm going to give my value to the Beis HaMikdash, it wouldn't just be a subjective amount that the Torah gives. I would say it is a, whatever, figure out what a person's value is. So that's not right. We can't establish people's values. Sure you can. We establish people's values when it comes to their value as a slave, or how much money they get in terms of Nezek, or there's many ways in the Zikin that we do establish people's values. And not only that, but there is a way of doing that as well. Let's say a person, I want to give my subjective value to the Beis HaMikdash. So can I do that? Can I make that up? So it's not in this Parsha, but it is in the Hebrew language. Instead of saying Erech Alai, I could say Demei Alai. Right, Erech Alai is the objective value that is given by the Torah in this parak. Demei Alai is saying, what is my monetary value? And if a person would say Demei Alai, so then they have to go and do a cheshbon about how much money they have in their bank accounts and how much potential earnings do they have, and those types of things. And you put that all together, and then that would come out with the with establishing what a person's demei is. So Rav Weinberger continues in the Shemen HaTov and says that there's another aspect to the Tochacha that needs to bear recognition, and that is that everybody has a minimal value of what they are worth, but then it is up to them to figure out how to expand about that, how to expand, and that would then be subjective. Everybody, because you are a, you know, B'nai Torah, and because you're a Jew, and because you went to, you know, and different people might then have additional things. Because you went to day school. Because there's many minimal things that a person is given over the course of their life that will establish their base worth. But then beyond that, it's going to be up to each and every individual to expand beyond that. And
so that's the objective.
That's subject. Objective is no, you have. There's objective things that people get, and in our, and then on a Musar level, everybody has objective things that they've been given to them. So people, you know, if they went to day school or they had a certain environment growing up, or they had right, those are things that are given to them. They grew up in Orthodox shul. They grew up right. So those, that's their starting point. But then it's up to each and every person not just to figure out what their erech is, but to figure out what their demay is, to figure out what their overall value is, how much can they expand beyond their basic erech. And he continues on and says that idea is also hinted to in the Tochacha. But in the Tochacha, it talks about how people have gone to lower levels because of their sins and things of that nature. But yet, over the course of Tocha, it also says that we do have the haftach, we do have the promise of v'zacharti b'si Yaakov, v'afes b'si Yitzchak, v'afes b'si Avram, v'aretz Hashkor, that the Hashem is going to, we ask Hashem to remember the bris that he made with Yaakov, Yitzchak, and Avram. And we discussed that a little bit more at length when we learned Perekha Vav now about a month ago. But that establishes that it's true that I have been kicked down a little bit, but don't forget, I have a starting point. I come from Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and that's supposed to maintain my connection. And even though that we might have the idea that the schus avos may not protect the person, and that's like a Tisha B'Av issue, I think we discussed that in Tisha B'Av morning, even though the schus avos might not protect the person, their bris avos will. Bris avos doesn't go away, and that's established here. So the bris avos gives you a starting point. It gives we will never ultimately be destroyed because we have the bris with Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. But to reestablish the zechus, to come in contact with the merits, and to establish our own merits, so that's up to us to expand beyond the simple erech that we are automatically given when we come into the world or come into being and things of that nature. Alright, good so far. Next, from Yaakov Kamenetsky, the Emes Yaakov. Quotes from the Mora Nevuchim. So the Mora Nevuchim has an interesting take. Where is that? Find it here. There it is. So from the Mora Nevuchim in Chelek Gimel Perek Mem, that's 340. So the Rambam writes that the Eved is, you would have to pay a Eved Chatzi Nezek. Why do we, if a person damages an Eved, so they pay Chatzi Nezek. Why is that? Because we see that women are valued, their Erech is valued at half of that as men. And Avadim are compared to women in terms of Shmiras HaMitzvos, that they have, they're not Chayv, they're not obligated in the Mitzvah Seisha Asman Grama, so therefore they're evaluated as half. And then as Rambam said, that's why. So you look at the parshas of Arachin, men are valued at 60 shkalim, and females are valued at 30 shkalim. You are nodding like I'm right, but I'm not right. No. Because I'm not right. Because if you look in the pasuk, so what is the value of men? What? Right? If you take a look in the pasuk, so what value are we giving men? So vaya erkecha zach mi ben esrim shana v'ya ben shishim shana vaya erkecha in pasuk gimel chamishim shekel kesef v'shekel hakodesh, that his value is going to be 50 shkalim v'shekel hakodesh. Right? For men. And you continue on down the line. I had this spelled out in front of me at some point. How much are women worth? So women are 30, men are 60. If you continue on down the line, if they are 5 years old, so the men are worth 20 and the females are worth 10. So there it is, half. But if they're 1 month old until they're 5 years, so the men's going to be 5 and the female are going to be worth 3. Right? So how could the Rambam get off saying half? And where does he get 60 from, right? It makes sense if a man is 60, but if men are only 50, as the Torah says, so what's going on there? So comes the Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky and says, well, first of all, that Rambam is a Tosofer. The Rambam is a mistake. The Rambam shouldn't say 60. It really should say 50. All right, so that then puts together the Rambam with the Chumash. The only problem is that it destroys the whole perek, a little point that the Rambam was trying to make. Right? The Rambam was trying to make that things are 50, are half. So Rav Yaakov continues on when we have a Tosofer, when we have a mistake in the text, so we could very well easily understand that the text could be mistaken. But what is unacceptable is to say that the whole paragraph is mistaken, right? That doesn't work. So if the whole paragraph is contingent on a certain value, you can't just say, oh, well, that value is off by a little bit. Except Rav Yaakov says, yeah, no, that's what it is. The value is off by a little bit. And that's okay, because the Torah deals with round numbers when it comes to Erchin. And 50 men, we're going to establish the male value at 50, and females are half of that. Now, what is half of that? So we'll always round up. So yes, 25 is half of that, but we'll round up to 30, and that's okay. And 20, 10 works, and 5, 3, also, same thing, we're not going to say they're worth 2.5, we're just going to round off. So therefore, that's how he works that out. Yes, that's what he meant.
Is this based on their ability to produce income or something? Or
so it seems like it's not the case. It seems like it is based on what the Torah says. The Torah gives a value, and picking up on Rav Weinberger's Hara, saying, yeah, and that's their starting point. That's their basic value, and they'll continue on. Now, they go down in value a little bit later on in life. We'll get to that in not yet. We'll get to that the next thing. But before we get to that, we'll go back to a very important Ramban that we covered on Meforshim Day. So the Ramban explained, as Ramban pointed out, that the translation in the Art Scroll Ramban is different than the translation in the Art Scroll Chumash. Where are we? In Parachav Zayin Pasuk Chav Tes. So what does it say there? Kochirim asher yacharam min ha'adam lo yipadeh mos yumas. What does that mean? Any condemned person who has been banned from mankind should not be redeemed is going to be put to death. So Rashi gives says, oh, there's a halacha like that. What? Oh, actually, I see here. I have the stone chumash here. I see the art scroll points out the Rashi and the Ramban here. Right, Rashi translates that as teaching you a halacha. They both translate as teaching you a halacha. Rashi says, oh, the halacha is that let's say a person is being marched off to be killed. So at that moment, that person doesn't have their erech. So a person says, oh, he's going out to death, I'll give that person's erech. So how much do you owe to the base of Mikdash? Zero. That's what the halacha is ever learning. As a person is being condemned to death, so they are going to lose their erech value. Okay?
Why?
That's what the pasuk says, according to Rashi. Chavtes, 29. Kolcheir mashiachram min hadam lo yifadeh, that any condemned person, at least is the way the Rambam, the Rashi, that any condemned person who's been banned from mankind should not be redeemed, he'll be put to death because he is condemned. So the Ramban says, no, it's talking about an entirely different halacha, totally different halacha. It's talking about the halacha of charamim, things that have been condemned by the Jewish people. And what does it mean by the Jewish people? It's either by the Jewish people or by the king. That the king has the ability to condemn certain things, and if one comes and tries to undermine that, that person is chayav misa. This, I believe, I don't know of any, I meant to look into this, didn't have a chance. I believe this is a source, maybe, I don't know if it's the source, but a source of those that are morid b'machus. Those that are morid, those that undermine the king are chayav misa. That's a standard assumption that one uses when one goes through the books of Shmuel and Malachim in order to understand various stories. That's the issue of Shaul and David and Yonasan, that he thought they were being morid b'machos. And this issue of David as well. David had people put to death because they're morid b'machos. So what is the source for that? That the king has the ability to put people to death? So perhaps it's this, that a person, the king has the ability to say certain, as a representative of Klal Yisrael, which is what a king is, as a representative of the Jewish people, can say such a thing is going to be in chirim. Not only that, but if the Jewish people themselves have the right to establish something as being in chirim, and therefore the Ramban goes on and explains, and this is what was going on in the story of Pilegish Begiva. So some people in this room, Baruch Hashem, just made a siyum on Sefer Shoftim. So the last couple of prakim in Sefer Shoftim is the story of Pilegish Begiva. Very quickly, things were terrible in the land. There was a Jew who walked through the tribe of traveling through the tribe of Binyamin with his, I guess, wife or Pilegish at that point, the Pilegish Begiva. The people came and surrounded the house, attempted to come in and rape them. Seems like rape them. Yeah, rape them. They put the woman outside. The woman was raped and ended up dying on the front step. The person was so disturbed, the husband, who didn't protect her or anything like that, was so disturbed by this, he took her dead corpse, cut it up into 12 pieces, sent it up to the various shratim and said, look what's going on in Binyamin, everybody has to come and avenge your death in Binyamin, which they all did. All the Jewish people came, and this was a civil war. The Bnei Yisrael against the tribe of Binyamin. There were some who didn't come, and they were condemned. They were the people of Yavish Gilad. So Yavish Gilad did not participate in this, and after the tribe Binyamin was taken care of, with the exception of a few survivors, they turned their wrath on the people of Yavish Gilad. They went and attacked Yavish Gilad and destroyed the men, most of the women. There were a couple of women that were left over. They were permitted to marry the people from Binyamin, that alleviating some of the shidduch crisis that was imposed upon Binyamin. Part of the shvuah was that the tribe Binyamin is not allowed to marry into the Jewish. We're not going to intermarry anymore with them. At least for a while it was like that. But they gave them the girls from Yavish Gilad. And therefore the tribe Binyamin was able to continue on. So there's a couple of Rambans scattered throughout the Torah where he goes on pretty long essays about the story of Peleg Shmigiva. I'm not sure if it had like it was central to the Ramban's thought, but explains that what was going on there, what was the justification for this, because the Jewish people said we're going to war against Binyamin. Now, again, the Ramban is assuming that things are okay. The Ramban is, you know, when one goes through stories in Tanakh, they're used in the Gemara often as proofs for halacha one way or another. Now, it's a little hard, the further you get along in Sefer Shoftim, it's a little bit harder, gets harder and harder to do that, because the Navi itself is testifying that these people are a bunch of Rishayim and Mushkasim and terrible people and awful, and they're not doing the right thing and things like that. But yet the Ramban is taking the actions of that story, lahalacha. So how were they justified in going against the people of Yavish Gilad? Now, if you would have asked me, I could have said, well, they weren't. But no, Ramban assumes that they were. And why were they permitted, why were they justified in doing so? Because they violated this pasuk in Bechukosai. Because Bnei Yisrael had gotten together and said that our job is to go and teach these Binyaminites a lesson that they'll never forget, or maybe they will because they won't exist anymore, but we're going to take on the tribe of Binyamin. Everybody's got to join us. Those people didn't, so now you guys are essentially Mori B'malchus. You have rebelled against the kingdom of the Jewish people. And therefore they were justified in going after them. Now, why were there women that were permitted to be left over? I mean, where'd these women come from? Why was that okay? So he explains that, well, so he says that perhaps the chirim is that whoever could have gone to war and didn't. I mean, there are those who perhaps might have tried to and were held back from doing so. There were perhaps women who were like, guys, you should all go, and you know, they didn't go, and they fell on deaf ears. So just as by the city of the Ir Nidachas, the Ir Nidachas is a condemned city. So those who didn't violate Avodah Zarah are not killed with the ones who were. The people who did violate Avodah Zarah, not only are they killed, but their families are killed, their children, well, it's Machlokas actually, whether their children are killed, Machlokas Rabbah and Yad Ramah. We've discussed that. That also is an interesting Machlokas, because Yad Ramah seems to pull a moral argument against the Rambam. Right? He seems to say, how could it be that children would be killed for the sins of their parent? So that's an interesting argument for another time. But anyways, that's what Rabbi Yaakov's claim is going on. He said those girls who were saved, they wanted to go to war, and they were held back from doing so. And similarly, just as Ir Nidachas, not everybody is condemned to death, so to hear, not everybody was condemned to death. Those girls were then married the boys of Binyamin, and that was able to reestablish the tribe of Binyamin. Who famously comes from Binyamin? The two most famous Binyaminites. Mordechai and Shaul. Right. Okay, and then one more thought to conclude our piece here, and also it's a nice thought having to do with a nice first Seder thought. So we learned the Rashi, Parakav Zayin, Pasuk Zayin. You'll see what I mean now. Don't doubt me. Don't.
Looking for Tov here.
Okay, so the Rambam wrote, sorry, not the Rambam. The Torah says, "V'im ben shishim shana v'mal." If they're 60 and older, im zachar v'haya erkacha mishim asar shekel. So then their value is going to be 15 shekel, and girls, their value is going to be 20 shekelim. So that's very interesting. Listen, in every other stage that the Torah describes, the males are worth more than the females, plus their ability to do mitzvahs. All of a sudden here, the females are given... I'm sorry, 10. The men are 15, the females are 10. I'm sorry, they're still the men are still evaluated as more. But yet Rashi points out that... that yes, it's true that they might be worth more, but proportionally they're not worth that much more, right? Proportionally, it's the period where they're as close as possible. So Rashi then adds in ends with the following quote from the Maseches Arachin. What?
In the 5 and 3, the proportion is even more.
What? No, we're down to 15 and 10.
Yeah, but in a certain age, what is it worth 5 and more 3?
No. Yeah, but 5 and 3 is 60. We had this problem the other week. 5 and 3 is 3/5 is 60%.
Yeah.
10/15 is
66%.
Oh man.
The less the cost, the value, the higher the person's madriga is. Look at it.
Well, why is that?
Because they have...
You mean the older people have a higher madriga, you're saying?
And they have... Because they have less to pay. They don't have to pay as much to bring their status.
Themselves to the visa. Make that show. You could argue that either way. I'll go with what the Rashi says here.
It makes sense because the older person,
yeah,
should be at a higher madriga than a younger person.
Right.
But a very young person, like they say, like a woman doesn't have to do as many mitzvahs.
Correct. Is it about madriga or is it about potential? Anyways, what is Rashi? So Rashi has this line here that he quotes from Maseches Arachim, where he says, "Why is it that now, at the post retirement, men and women have the closest value?" So he says, "The Amri Inshi Saba Bevesa Pacha Bevesa," because a man, when the man is in their house, or a saba, an older man in their house, is considered like a broken vessel in the house. Safta bevesa, sima bevesa. While a safta, an elderly woman that's in the house, so she's considered to be a treasure in the house. Right? So that's what Rashi makes the count. So what does that mean? So the simplest explanation of that is that because a male's value is defined by their work. And as they get older, they are compromised in the work that they're able to do. Certainly in the labor that is described in these partios of working the fields and things like that. So the older one gets, the less value that they have, as opposed to women, right? Women, their skills that they had when they were younger, they get better at. They're better at sewing, they're better at knitting, they're better at cooking. All those things get better as they get older. Yeah.
Not only that, but in the next pasuk, Het, it actually shows that the women's value is eternal, because the men's value obviously can come to compromise and reduced by the Kohen. But the woman's cannot.
What do you mean it can be reduced by the Kohen?
Okay.
But if he's too poor for value,
he can go to the Kohen and say, "I'm not valued."
That's if he's less if he's
but
too
the
poor.
Cannot be.
A woman can't go
no,
to
it's
that.
He.
Yeah, I see that. I don't know if that might be a unisex he though, or oso. Vericho so haKohen. The Kohen will.
He says he.
I mean, that's if they're too poor. So if they're too poor. So they go in front of the Kohen. The Kohen gives them a value. Yeah.
But it doesn't say anything about.
Well, what if a woman makes that statement? And what if a woman says Erech Alai and she's too poor? What does she do?
Obviously, it's a Torah.
I don't know.
Neither do I. I'm just reading it.
I don't know. You got to. I don't know. See how they see what the psak is on that one. Could look up the Rambam and see if he has a psak on that idea. But anyway, so what is the story here? So Rav Zilberstein, the Alinu Shabeach, so he says as follows: because a person saba vesa pacha vesa, right? So pacha milashon pacham. Okay, see milashon pacham. Beir hu she'isha mispakida lahashkiach. Right, a woman has to be in charge of the needs of the house. Now, when she is younger, she has a lot of responsibilities to take over, and she doesn't have time to teach. She doesn't have time to be the as ein la pinai lilmod es hamishbacha michochmasa shel ha. Idishamama. As she's younger, she's just too busy taking care of the kids and all those kinds of things. But as she gets older, so then she has the ability to explain what she's doing and to teach things and things like that. So therefore, she's not her full value. But when she gets older, when she's not going to go out anymore, she has her full value at that point. Another idea, and this gets into...
That goes against the concept that it's not based on what you do, but it's an inherent value that's placed upon you.
Yeah, that's the inherent value.
What, it's based on how much work you can do, or
it's based on. Look, the Torah just gives a value. We're left to interpret what it could be, what it is. So we're going to say the value is that men are still valued more in that they're able to do mitzvos. So they still have the higher number assigned, but their numbers are coming more and more equal as because a man is not able to fulfill his tafkid, so to speak. I mean, his idea is to do mitzvos and also work and raise the family, things like that. A woman is able to do more of those things, so therefore her value is filler. Another idea he has is that what is the challenge with the man? That the man, if he is home, is not going to be able to do anything. So therefore he explains that that's the tikkun. The Gemara said a saba bevesa, a saba in his house is going to be not so valued. Why? Because where should a saba be? Says Rav Zilberstein.
He should be learning.
He should be a first seder, right? He should be in the base medrash. If a man is going to be stuck at home all day, so then an elderly woman, an elderly man, the elderly woman is going to be worth more than the elderly man when they're both in the house. But if the woman's at home and the man's going to base medrash, so then his value is going to go up higher. And he continues on here with the story about from Rav that he went once with Rabbi Dr. Rothschild, who brought him to see doctors in a hospital, which I guess is near Bnei Brak or something. And he walked around and he saw that there was a person who was busy writing. Actually, v'chasav. So he says, I went over to him and I asked him, what are you writing? And he was a Talmud Chacham. And he said, ma perish, what do you mean what I'm writing? I'm writing down my Chidushei Torah. And heishiv v'tokhidei dibra hosiv. Then he added in, b'chein ani mekayim, therefore I'm fulfilling the Maharsha in Meseches Baba Vasra. What is that? The Maharsha in Baba Vasra tells us, adaf yuram and aleph, plus the Gemara there says, how praiseworthy is or fortunate is a person that has come to hear and his value is still in his and his learning is still in his hand. What is this? It's an interesting Gemara. The Gemara actually is an important source. But the Gemara there talks about Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef went to Shemayim, so to speak. The Gemara describes. He asked him, "What did you see?" So Amar Lehi said, "Ki hichi da chashvin and hacha." That what we consider here, chashiva hasam. That just as we are considered important. Tamil Chacham are important here. Tamil Chacham are considered important there as well. The Shamati Shayu Omrim, and I heard them say, this became, I think, an Avram Fried song. Shamati Shayu Omrim. Right. What did they say? Ashri Mishabalakan Misamuda Biyad. Fortunate is he who comes here and is learning in his hand. And the other one is also the Shamati Shayu Omrim. I heard that they say, Harugi Malchus Ein Kol Beria Yechol Lama Mechitza Sana. Those that were killed by the Roman government have no other creature that can stand in their enclosure. Meaning, they sounds like they're going to Olam Haba, they go to the highest level of Olam Haba, which is an important source for those. Have you ever heard this idea that those who dial Kiddush Hashem go straight to Olam Haba? You ever heard that concept?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So it's always, it has bothered me. Did someone who died in the Holocaust, so perhaps that's based here, I'm not sure, I didn't take a chance to look at that, but did somebody who died in the Holocaust, did they, is a very weighty question, but did they die technically Al Kiddush Hashem? So not necessarily, because someone who died Al Kiddush Hashem is technically is a person who had a gun to their head and said, worship Avodah Zarah or else I'm going to kill you. And the person said, listen, you can kill me, I'm not going to worship Avodah Zarah. Meaning he had a choice, and he elected to do that. The Holocaust didn't necessarily have a choice, but yet it doesn't necessarily push them away from the Olam Haba that's being described in this Gemara. Because these people who died, there's a whole story here of those who died. Who were they? And it describes that those people, the Haruge Lud, those people that were killed in Lud. So those people in Lud also didn't die. It's a story of what exactly happened, but there, it's a similar thing. They were killed because the Romans were going around killing people in the land of Israel. So also wasn't really a choice. So that perhaps helps out that question. That's a somewhat weighty question that's out there. But anyways, on this Gemara of Shamati Shai Omrim, Ashri Misha Balakan V'Tamudu B'Yado, what does mean Tamudu B'Yado? Answers the Maharsha, Ish Lafarshki Ikr Halimut Shanasa Baroshabu Alimut Haba Miksivas Yad, that learning which comes and makes the most impact is that learning which came from his hands, meaning which he wrote. Ashalke Nikrim Hachacham Sofrim. That's why the Chachamim are known as Sofrim. So it's not just enough to sit and learn, but even better than to sit and learn is to sit and write Kiddushei Torah to produce, etc. I'll just conclude with one story of Yosef Chaim Sonnenfeld that after he passed away, so they were looking through the papers in his desk, and he uncovered a folder which had said on it, Chidushei Torah Li Yeshiva Shemaila. My Chidushei Torah for the Yeshiva Shemaila. What was that? What was that talking about? So it was his Shtikl Torah to get into Olam Haba, the Yeshiva Shemaila. That's what he wrote. He wrote up that, you know, when I go up to Shemayim, so they're going to ask, I'm going to have to get into Yeshiva. So how am I going to get into Yeshiva? So here's the Shtikl Torah that I prepared. So on one hand, very important from the story of Arachin, as Zilberstein tells us, don't just stay in the house when one has time to learn as they get older, right? Their value goes down when they're in the house. Their value goes up when they come and learn Torah. And beyond that, not just to sit and learn, but also to sit and write and to produce and to establish and luck to teach, etc. So, Mazel Tov, Yeshe Koach. I'm concluding Sefer Vayikra, Hadron Alach Sefer Vayikra, and we'll also luck to begin the book of Bamidbar. I guess I'm Yisrael Hashem tomorrow. All right, have a good day.